Agriculture and Forestry is hereby called to order. We thank all of you for attending and welcome you here. Today, the only item on our agenda is House Bill 2051, and we are going to begin this last segment. I will tell you that the chair's intention is to move this bill out of here today with the appropriate amendments, one of which is being drafted as we speak. It is also the chair's intention to get out of here before 5 o'clock. So, with everyone keeping that in mind, we shall proceed. Ray, would you read the staff measure summary, please?
I'd be pleased, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. What House Bill 2051 does is it changes lien availability for agricultural producers growing agricultural products not owned by the producer. And you have to refer to the Plant Variety Protection Act, which is a federal act governing proprietary grass seed. It expands the applicability of agricultural produce and grain producers' lien laws, changes agricultural produce and grain producer lien security interest, priority, duration, method of extension, and notice requirements, and prohibits contractual waiver of right to file an agricultural produce or grain producer lien. It requires the Secretary of State to maintain agricultural services lien records in the Financial Statement Index and specifies an attachment date for the agricultural services liens. It limits the name search and notice requirements for agricultural service liens and declares an emergency effective on passage. For review, Mr. Chair, the issues that have been discussed by the chair and the committee thus far in the previous two hearings include the ABT bankruptcy case, its history and the current status, Oregon's grain producer lien, Oregon's agricultural producer lien, the Washington and Idaho lien statutes, the Plant Variety Protection Act, cooperative organizations or co-ops, secured creditors, the definition of producer, burden of proof, insurance or indemnity, and details of the proposed statutory changes. Currently, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we have six amendments that have been drafted towards this bill. As the chair indicated, a seventh is being drafted as we speak.
Thank you, Ray. I appreciate that. If we could get the sign-up sheet, we'll call forward our first witnesses on public hearing on House Bill 2051. And we have, first off, is Tim Martinez of the Oregon Bankers Association, Greg Duff, and Don Wiley. Gentlemen, if you would be so kind as to come forward. Welcome to you all, and please take note of how you pronounce the chair's name when you're addressing the chair. Thanks, and for the record, state your name, please.
Sure. My name is, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Tim Martinez. I'm the Vice President of Government Relations for Oregon Bankers Association. You should have copies of our testimony there in front of you. I brought today two members of Representative Trump's work group to my immediate to right, Greg Duff, Vice President Manager of Citizens Bank, and to his right, Don Wiley, Vice President Manager of Western Bank. Greg is the chairman of my agriculture committee. Don is a member of that committee as well. And as I say, they both served for the last half of last year, I guess, on Representative Krupp's work group dealing with the ABT bankruptcy issue. I'd like to turn it over to Greg first and then Don to make some brief comments about the debt.
Got some comments I want to read. Mr. Chairman.
Welcome.
Members of the committee, my name is Greg Duff, and I'm chairman of the Oregon Bankers Association's Ag Committee. Over the course of several months last year, Don and I, along with other members of the work group, spent many hours examining ways to strengthen Oregon's ag lien laws to protect Oregon's agricultural producers from future ABT-type situations. As members of the committee know, House Bill 2036, 2037, and 2051 are the fruits of the labor of our work group. The OBA is pleased to join with Representative Krupp and the Oregon Farm Bureau in co-sponsoring House Bill 2036 and 2037. House Bill 2051, introduced by Representative Krupp, seeks to solve some of the ABT issues. It also seeks to equalize as much as possible the agricultural produce lien and the agricultural grain lien. It also contains some minor changes to the agricultural service lien agreed to by the OBA and ag groups led by Walt Gow. Chairman Krupp's work group was formed to deal with the ABT bankruptcy, and House Bill 2051 accomplishes the changes agreed to by the group. The one item remaining in controversy is the issue of cooperatives. Specifically, should members of the cooperatives have the right to file an agricultural produce lien on the product they deliver to their own cooperative, as they may not be paid in full until a later date. House Bill 2051, as introduced, allows cooperative members to file those liens. The -6 amendments maintain the existing exemption to cooperatives in regards to the ag produce lien only that prohibits these filings liens by their members. If the committee chooses to adopt these amendments, situations like AgriPac bankruptcy of a few years ago will remain possible. However, the OBA understands that Chairman Krupp's charge to the task force was to deal with the ABT bankruptcy and not the ABT bankruptcy. On a positive note, On a positive note, the -6 amendments should help prevent future situations like AgriFrozen. These amendments make it clear that from the enactment of House Bill 2051 forward, only cooperatives as defined in the Oregon statutes will be able to take advantage of the cooperative exemption. I want to make it clear that the final judicial outcome regarding the decision of AgriFrozen not to honor their producer contracts is uncertain. The point is, these amendments, if adopted, will provide much needed clarification for the future. And I'd like to turn it over to Don now.
Thank you, Greg. Welcome, Don, for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And members of the committee, my name is Don Wiley. I'm from Western Bank, and I'm here representing the, on behalf of the OBA's Agricultural Committee. If the cooperative exemption is continued, we would suggest further amendments to House Bill 2051, specifically an amendment that would require cooperatives to send an annual notice to their members that Oregon law prevents them from filing an agricultural produce lien on any of their product they sell to their cooperative. This suggestion, I believe, is before you as a -4 amendment, maybe -7 now.
It will be the -7s. That's correct. Thank you.
We do not make this suggestion lightly. However, one of the items that became very clear during the course of the work group's meeting is that there is certainly a lack of understanding of or in some cases a misunderstanding of what the liens are and how they work. And any minimal cost to the cooperatives in preparing and maintaining these notices would be offset by the increased information made available to the producers. This amendment comes out of a conversation that was had with some of the OBA representatives, with local attorney Paul Connolly, who testified earlier on this bill. And Mr. Connolly represents many of the farmers in ag lien cases, including many of those involved in the current AgriFrozen situation. I'd like to make one final point regarding the cooperative's exemption contained in the agricultural produce lien. I believe the work group was quite a learning experience for all of its participants, myself included. Several of my colleagues in the agricultural lending community were somewhat surprised by the extent of the cooperative's exemption with regard to agricultural produce liens. This committee needs to be aware that many ag lenders around the state will now more closely review loans made to those producers that who are members and owners of cooperatives. Prohibiting farmers from filing liens on their own produce will require ag lenders to carefully monitor not only their borrower's financial situation, but possibly that of the cooperative as well. That kind of the extent of that review is yet to be determined. I will now turn this back over to Mr. Martinez for his final closing remarks.
Mr. Chairman, members, again, we appreciate the opportunity to be part of the work group that you put together last year. We know you have another bill, 2048, that may indeed work the next interim, and we hope to be part of that as well. We're grateful for the chance to testify here today. And While there are areas in the ag lien laws we may, or we might like to go down and examine, we realize this is not the session to do that, that you called us together to try to make sure we didn't have future ADT issues, and we think we've done that. All you have to do is read the paper last Thursday, February 1st. There was a nice article about AgriFrozen being sued and perhaps taking advantage of the current Oregon law, and we'll have to wait to see how that is adjudicated, but we think what you're doing here today should prevent that from happening in the future. And then secondly, you probably noticed today that you're probably going to go have to vote tomorrow on whether or not you're going to take the ABT deal, as they're calling it in the paper. I would just say that, you know, the Dash 6, obviously this is just the first time we've seen them. Obviously, I haven't had a chance to complete digest them. They seem to be as advertised, and we appreciate some of the other changes you made in there that we discussed with you late last week. I'd just like to finish, and I won't read the last two paragraphs of my testimony, but we'll just call it to the attention of the committee, just so you have a sense of how the Oregon Bankers Association operates and how we come to positions on bills like this. And with that, we'd try to answer any questions.
Thank you, gentlemen. We appreciate your comments. To clarify, Tim, your last couple of paragraphs here in your testimony,
sure.
It sounds that at times, because you have, I think you said, 16 standing committees within the OBA, that at times you have one committee that views it from a producer's perspective and the other from a commercial lending perspective, and at times they perhaps have different viewpoints. So let me ask you, how do you resolve that?
Well, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm very pleased to say that beginning with when Frank Groner was president of the association and on through the current president, Tom Perrett, we've always been able to meet in a room somewhere and kind of shut the door until we come up with a consensus. We're one of the very few bankers associations in the country that has a 100% membership. Every bank in the state belongs to the bank association, and B, the small and large are able to work these issues out. A lot of states have a bankers association. They also have an independent bankers association, which we do as well, except it's internal to the OBA. So we meet, not unlike rooms like this, and just try to see what's reasonable, primarily with the first goal being to our customers, and then we go from there. So, and the OBA board is structured in a way that both large, medium, and small institutions are appropriately part of our board and governing board.
We have questions of Vice Chair King, please.
Thank you. To be clear in this, since the co-op member will not be able to affect a lien against the cooperative in which they're a member, would mean that they would not be able to affect collateral back to a bank if they were looking for their crop as part of the collateral for getting that loan. And if that collateral was necessary for the loan, that could mean that access to credit through bank in that situation, you know, with this legislation to solve the problem, that would be a potential consequence. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct. We would have to basically qualify that agriculture producer may have to qualify for unsecured credit and not need any collateral for their loan.
Could you again say your name for the record?
Sure. Greg Duff. That could put us in a situation where if the borrower doesn't have some other collateral, which is real estate that we could use, or doesn't qualify for unsecured lending, that when we would be unable to provide producer loans for members of cooperatives.
Correct. So that if the crop itself was necessary for the loan, then they'd have to get the loan from somebody else. But if they have other collateral, CDs, real estate, good enough name, mm-hmm. then they could work with the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Paul?
Certainly.
Since it's then, potential that you may lose some business, with bankers in terms of lending, on their crop as a part of their business, then when you lose that part of the business, then it might make it more difficult for you to also service the other needs and have the other parts of a business relationship, like their savings, the business cash flow. So you are, you know, potentially in supporting this bill, acknowledging that you're going to be, you know, possibly sacrificing some market share in, you know, in the farming community for the banking business. Is that possible?
Yeah, the potential is there. If somebody else comes in and fills that void somehow, and I don't know how they would without the crop as collateral, but typically what it's going to force is a decision by the producer whether he can stay in business if he doesn't have any financing for his operating needs.
Greg, let me ask you this question as a follow-up to what Representative King was driving at there. How many of the individuals that you, as in both of you are ag bankers, how many of the individuals that you loan to sell all of their crops just to a co-op? Are there those folks, or are they split up amongst private companies and combinations and so on and so forth?
In my area, and Don can speak for his, this is Greg Duff again, but in my area, several years ago, the growers started to diversify out and started reducing their reliance on raising produce such as cannery crops, corn, beans, and those things. I still do have a couple customers that this has impacted them dramatically with AgriFrozen. They were forced to write off $700,000-$800,000 in retains from AgriPac. Now they're going to lose in excess of $100,000 from AgriFrozen. It's put us in a position with that customer where we have to decide if we want to continue. If we do, now we're into their real estate equities to be able to continue with this operation, and we're also looking for guarantees from the Farm Home Administration to help shore this up.
Don, and you, please.
Hey, Mr. Chairman,
your name again.
Committee. This is Don Wiley.
Thank you.
I would echo what Greg said in terms of most of our customers are fairly diversified. However, the significance in terms of total dollars, given the margins that I'm sure you're aware of that exist in farming today, it's hard to absorb those kinds of hits. So I would say that a good number, while they may be diversified, would be, you know, impacted with a certain level of significance in any situation like a cooperative cannery filing for bankruptcy. So,
Vice Chair King?
Yeah, just to follow up, it's apparent that there is the potential for a farmer to lose some ability to gain credit on their crop from bankers as a part of working on this bill to fix, you know, that knowledge problem. And I think it's just important that we know going into it, you know, what we gain and conceivably what, you know, may be a cost to farmers that are co-op members.
Members, do we have additional questions of these gentlemen?
Mr. Chair?
Certainly, Vice Chair.
I think I'm lost today. Have we resolved the cooperative issue as of yet? I mean, of whether there will be a participation of any sort as per the last hearing we had?
Yes, Vice Chair. That is in essence what we've accomplished through the Dash 6 amendment. And we will have our administrator go through that amendment with us as we adopt it, so that we all understand precisely what it is that it does.
Okay.
And we may also at that time call forward Walt Gell, who will also be coming to testify momentarily for any definitive law questions there in that regard. Representative Doyle, do you have a question?
I have no questions.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much. I appreciate your comments and think we let you off easy. And
thank you.
And we will anxiously await your Dash 7 amendments as soon as Chuck Taylor has them finished. Chuck, I hope you're listening.
Mr. Chair, I can't think of, you know, having to hang around for 4 weeks is getting off easy. I believe these men have, been here on a diligent basis and have had to sit through many, many hours as this has been sorted out. It's just been such a complicated situation, and I really admire them for taking the time to be here when you have how many 300 others you need to be worrying about.
And that's those are points well taken, Vice Chair. These three gentlemen were involved in every one of the meetings we've held in the last year on this issue, which were numerous, to be sure. So I think we have done yeoman's work with this bill up to this point, and we intend to finish it. At this time, Chair would like to call Walt Gall. Walt, if you'd like to come forward. Welcome once again, Walt. It's good to see you for the record.
Thank you, Chairman Krupp. For the record, my name is Walter Gall. I'm an attorney. I practice law in McMinnville. I want to say, first of all, I'd like to keep my comments extremely brief, given the chair's hope to adjourn early this evening. I want to say that the task force work in this regard has been unique in my experience in working in these lien law revisions over the last 18 years. The cooperation between the Oregon Farm Bureau, which hosted these meetings, Representative Krupp, who led them, the Seed Council, the Oregon Bankers Association, and so forth, was a tremendous effort to achieve consensus all on behalf of Oregon's farmers, and that's what this bill is about. I want to address just a couple of short questions that have come up, and then take any questions that the committee has. First, on the issue of cooperatives, and I think the concern raised by Representative King is very apt. First of all, let me say one thing. This bill does not change existing law. Members of cooperatives cannot file agricultural produce liens after this bill is enacted, but they could not before either, so it is not a change in the law or what might be called a detrimental change. However, there is a positive change for co-op members, and that is this bill does allow cooperatives to file liens on behalf of themselves and their members as a group. That makes their ability to collect their collective sales, and hence their ability to pay their farmers, much stronger than it was before the enactment of this bill if it succeeds in becoming law. And so in that sense, the bill does provide a benefit to cooperative members, albeit not an individual benefit, it's a group benefit.
Before you continue, let me ask you this question. Since you referenced the current law and how we're making, in essence, a very minute change to it to the benefit of cooperatives, one of the other changes that we're clarifying, especially in the Dash 6, is that a non-member of a co-op now has the ability, or have they always had the ability, to lien a co-op for their crops sold. Again, non-members, have they had the ability previously, or are we adding that now?
They have not, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the exemption for cooperatives previously was under the definition of food processor, which excluded cooperatives from that definition, and hence all cooperatives were exempt from filing of liens by all persons. The current definition is being revised to create the exemption in the definition of purchaser, and it only creates the definition for purchasers who are members of the cooperative. Sellers or producers who are not members of the cooperative will be free under this amendment to file a lien against cooperatives to the extent they are not a member of the cooperative, and hence it is a change in that regard for Oregon's farmers who are not members of that particular cooperative.
So in essence, Walt, then this actually strengthens the farmer's hand, because previously a farmer like myself who doesn't belong to a co-op at all, if I sold my product to a co-op and I needed to take advantage of the lien, I couldn't do so.
That's correct.
Under these changes, I will be able to do so, correct?
That's also correct.
Okay. Vice Chair Nelson, you have a question.
Mr. Chair, thank you, Attorney Gall. And this may or may not relate, but since I don't know the agri-frozen, I have been very saddened by the fact that while we've been in this process, other farmers have been deeply hurt. And I don't know the situation of the agri-frozen. Had this process been in, had we worked through this statute, if we'd have been done, would any of those farmers been protected? Or is that an entirely different situation? And if it is, how does it differ?
I cannot tell you honestly that agri-frozen's situation would have resulted in members of AgriFrozen, if it is in fact a cooperative, which I'm not sure it is, being able to file liens. This bill would not necessarily have solved that problem. I'm not close enough to that situation to be able to tell you whether in fact it is or is not a cooperative. I think that is going to be a subject of litigation, and some of those farmers are certainly taking the position that they do have lien rights under existing law at this point, represented by Mr. Connolly, who has testified before you. So I think further comment along those lines probably ought to wait the outcome of that proceeding.
Walt, continue, please. Thanks.
I only want to conclude my short comments by saying that this this legislation is probably the most significant legislation for agricultural farmers and producers that I've seen come by my desk since my experiences began in 1980. It broadens the number of farmers that are involved in their ability to secure themselves. It quadruples the number of crops which may be the subject of security by farmers. It lengthens the duration of the ability of liens to have time to be resolved. It strengthens the nature of the collateral that these liens have once they are filed and broadens it to include areas not previously covered. And so this is a very sweeping, broadening change to these producer liens. As the representatives of the OBA said, the minor changes to the agricultural services lien are inconsequential compared to the changes to the grain growers lien and the agricultural produce lien. I heartily support this bill. I hope that it will achieve final passage and approval by the governor, and I would invite any questions that I could be helpful in trying to answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Walt.
Chair.
Vice Chair Nelson, please.
Yes, I feel that I have the right to ask my constituent, Attorney Gal,
please.
If I could please have a copy of what you just said written, because it's wonderful, and would be wonderful to be able to use in various contexts of what's been accomplished.
I'll do what I can to accomplish that for you.
Thank you.
All right. Panel, do we have any additional questions of Walt? So everyone understands this thing to the nth degree, correct?
Much more than I did a week and a half ago.
Yes,
more.
Representative Krieger, that's...
If I could make perhaps one more comment. The Dash 6 amendments, which are basically technical amendments to this bill, are an attempt to clarify certain issues relating to inventory. They do not, in my opinion, change the intent of the bill and were the intent of the task force at the time of the introduction of this bill. And so therefore, I support their adoption in the Dash 6 amendments. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, is this measure moves on to our other colleagues, is there any way this could be consolidated to one measure with all the parts intact?
No, Representative. It would need to remain in the form that it is because it changes two different statutes. One deal with grain producers lien, one to do with the ag produce lien. And those two statutes need to remain in effect, and we're just making subtle changes to them. What we should do, I think, is what you've just asked Attorney Gowell to do for us, and he actually did so. If you recall, in your packets, you should have in your files the basic synopsis of what each one of the changes that we're making, how it affects the two different liens that we're talking about here. It just needs to be that way.
Okay.
There's no other way to say it.
All right.
It just needs to be that way. Okay, Walt, thank you.
Chairman.
We're going to take a 5-minute recess. Members, I would ask that you not go too far away, because when we do reconvene, I would like to move the amendments, assuming that we have them all in front of us at that time. And so we'll just take a short recess at this time.